From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Now welcome back with me, Amanda. Today I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, I will present some segments to you beginning from news commentary and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website at www.voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Consul General expects more publications on Indonesia-Australia ties. Indonesian Vice President received the visit of Deputy of Taliban leader Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Consul General in Sydney, Heru Hartanto Subolo, has expected that local media in Australia would increase the number of publications on the relationship between Indonesia and the Down Under when visiting a community radio, Currents FM 89.1, over the weekend. Consul General Subolo said in a statement from the Indonesian Consulate General in Sydney received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday that media including such radio as Cairns FM 89.1 play a very important role in informing people about the latest developments and important achievements on the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Australia. Furthermore, the Consul General said 2019 was the year marking 70 years of relations between Indonesia and Australia. According to Consul General Subolo, there are many important achievements in relations and cooperation between Indonesia and Australia that are not widely known by people. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala received the visit of one of founders and deputy of Taliban leader Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar at the Indonesian Vice President's residence in Jakarta. It was said by a press release which was received by RRI on Sunday, July 28. During the meeting, which was accompanied by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi on Sunday evening, the Vice President said that Indonesia always keeps communication with all parties which were involved in peace process in Afghanistan, including with the governments of Afghanistan and Taliban. The communication has very important meaning to keep all parties believe so that peace process will develop continuously. Indonesia also communicates with the United States and other parties. Dean of Agriculture Faculty of Halu Oleo University Kendari, Professor Tufaila Hemon, has opined that Indonesia will be able to dominate global economy through palm oil since the commodity can replace the role of petroleum of fossil fuels. Tufaila Hemon said in Kendari on Monday, July 29, that currently the world fossil oil reserve getting more decreased while the fossil cannot be renewed, so it will be an oil war. According to Tufaila, with an area of 15 million hectares of oil palm area, owned by Indonesia, is the source of Indonesia to dominate the world's economy. In addition, Tufaila Hemon said, that economic value of palm oil is not only on its fruit. The byproduct of the fruit processing can be utilized as fertilizer, biogas, charcoal, and also power plant. The city's government of Langsa said mangrove forest at Gampong Village, Kuala Langsa, West Langsa District, Aceh Province, is the most completed forest in Southeast Asia. This was stated by Head of Environment Office of Langsa City, Umar, escorted by Antara in Banda Aceh on Sunday. The office decided to use 8 hectares mangrove forest and to develop becoming one of the most favorite ecotourism in the region to encourage economic growth of surrounding people. Representative of Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF, of the Netherlands, Hans Boekeboom, conveyed his support on the work of the Langsa regional government, and also non-governmental organization, and the local people in effort to preserve mangrove forests. The local government of Langsa, along with the WWF and a number of environmental awareness agencies, on Saturday conducted international seminar with a theme Together in Mangrove Conservation for the Life of Sustainable Development. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Deputy of Indonesian Trade Promotion Center ITPC of the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah, Azman Rida, invites businessmen in Depok, West Java, to enter Saudi Arabian and Middle East market. That was stated by Azman, escorted by Antara in Depok on Monday, July 29. He also said that other products which have potential to enter Saudi Arabia are condiment and processing food. Those products have been exported to some countries. Kirbah, or beverage container like in Prophet era, which is made of leather, is also a lot of its enthusiasts. Likewise, other creative products such as handicrafts, processing food, and also healthy food. To increase trade and economic performances with Saudi Arabia needs comprehensive approach strategy. Since the last 2 years, team of economy and trade of the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah required Hajj and Umrah catering company to use Indonesian products. The Environment and Forestry Ministry will release 2 Sumatran tigers into their habitat in Riau Province after it cooperated with the Dharmasraya Sumatra Tigers Rehabilitation Center Arsari Joyo Hadikusumo Foundation to conduct rescue activities. The ministry noted in a press statement released on Monday, July 29, that the Sumatran tigers comprise a female tiger called Bonita and a male tiger named Atan Bintang. Director General of Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation of the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Wiratno, stated that the conservation of endangered animals would be successful if all sides were to work together. The result of PVA, or Population Viability Analysis, shows the population of Sumatran tigers in their natural habitat reaches only 603 found in 23 habitat enclaves. In the meantime, data from the Directorate General of Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation showed that over 50% of the population of endangered animals are found outside conservation areas, both in timber estates and protected forests. The last item, doubleman badminton players Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo, Marcus Fernaldi Gideon repeated their success 2 weeks ago at the Indonesian Open by defeating Hendra Setiawan Muhammad Ahsan in the final round of Japan Open 2019. The Minions succeeded to conquer the Daddies with 21-18 and 23-21 at Musashino Forest Sport Plaza, Tokyo, on Sunday, July 28. The result increasingly strengthens the supremacy of Kevin Marcus toward Hendra Ahsan to become 8 victories from total of their 10 championships. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
For the next segment, we will present you our program commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on sinking foreign illegal vessels does not bring about a deterrent effect. The punishment of sinking vessels that illegally fishing in Indonesian waters does not seem to deter foreign fishermen. Recently, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries has again succeeded in capturing 6 foreign fishing vessels. 3 vessels from Vietnam and 3 others from the Philippines were arrested in 2 different water locations due to illegal activities. The 3 vessels from Vietnam with 36 crews, Vietnamese citizens, they were secured and then escorted to Batam Marine and Fisheries Resource Monitoring Base for investigation process by Fisheries Civil Servant investigators. Meanwhile, 3 vessels from the Philippines of a pump boat along with 11 Filipino crew members were taken to Bitung Base in North Sulawesi. The capture of the vessels from Vietnam and Philippines increased the number that had been captured by the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries for illegal activities in Indonesian waters. At least from January to the end of July 2019, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries has succeeded in capturing 43 foreign fishing vessels. In accordance with Indonesian Fisheries Act, the perpetrators could face a maximum jail sentence of 6 years and a maximum fine of 20 billion rupiahs. Meanwhile, the captured vessels can be auctioned or sunk if they already have legal binding. However, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries prefers to sink the illegal vessels because the foreign vessels that have been auctioned off have the potential to be reused for similar crimes. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti once revealed that illegal fishing vessels were auctioned at a price of only 100 to 500 million rupiahs. Meanwhile, their profits reached 1 to 2 billion rupiahs from once fishing by stealing in the territory of Indonesian waters. This means that their activities are truly detrimental to the state. The decision to sink foreign vessels carrying out illegal fishing in Indonesian waters viewed as an appropriate choice. However, the action does not seem to bring about a deterrent effect. This is evidenced by the arrest carried out recently by the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries. In addition to giving punishment, it seems that diplomatic steps also need to be strengthened so that relevant countries provide education to their citizens about the dangers and legal consequences of illegal fishing activities. In fact, diplomatic relations need to be enhanced so that illegal fishing in other countries' waters can be avoided. That was commentary today on sinking foreign vessel does not bring about a deterrent effect. This is Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you our segment, which is Today in History, in which we will present you historical events happening on 29th of July. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on July 15, 1916, when Boeing Company was established. Boeing Company was established by flight pioneer William Edward Boeing on July 15, 1916. The company is located in Seattle and named Pacific Aero Products Co., but its name was changed a year later to honor the founder. Although it was the beginning in flight industry, war made Boeing possible to get tender of supplying 50 planes from the U.S. Airlines Corps. Its business developed rapidly to be one of the biggest companies in Seattle. Thus, Boeing concentrated on commercial plane industry and also succeeded to establish fast and efficient mail services and building and running airlines. The next event is that in 1940, Robert Wadlow passed away. Robert Pershing Wadlow was the tallest man in the world who used to live. He was sometimes called Giant Elton, was taken from his hometown in Elton, Illinois. Robert's height reached 2.72 meters and weighed 220 kilograms when he passed away. His body, which was big, kept growing high when adult because he suffered from hypertrophy in the pituitary, which results in abnormal quantity of growth hormone, so that his growth kept increasing until he died. When he was still alive, Whitlow was the most popular celebrity of the United States of America in his period. He was also well known when he toured throughout the country in 1963 as part of Ringing Brothers Circus and promotional tour of Interco in 1938. The last event is that in 1946, Malino Conference took place. After World War II ended, Australia surrendered East Indonesia to the Netherlands on July 15, 1946. Therefore, Dutch East Indies Civil Administration received the Eastern Indonesia de jure and de facto. The Dutch, which was led by Governor General Van Mook, conducted Malino Conference in Malino, South Sulawesi, on July 15 until 25, 1946, to discuss regional arrangement. The conference was known as Malino Conference, which was attended by 39 delegations from 15 regions in Kalimantan or Borneo and in eastern regions of Indonesia or the Groot Oost. Listen up, that was today in history.
Adakah engkau mendengar lagu rindu yang kutulis untukmu? Betapa jarak waktu memaksa kita memaknai sebuah kata rindu. Adakah engkau mendengar doa-doaku di ruang batinmu? Menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali. Kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Pada pemilik jiwa, karena ku yakin dia akan menjaga asa yang aku tinggalkan pada lingkar janji kehormatanmu. Oh, karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Cepat kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu.
bila kau menungguku.
That was the first song titled Bertahan Untukmu or Surrendering for You by Musik Kimia. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we'll present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises products become more global. President Joko Widodo claimed that he would actively present creative products of micro, small and medium enterprises to global markets amid sluggish economic conditions. After opening the Indonesian Creative Awards exhibition held by Bank Indonesia at the Jakarta Convention Center in Senayan, Jakarta on Friday, President Joko Widodo said that this should be done so that Indonesia would still be able to take advantage of its exports. He viewed that the condition of the global economy and market is indeed not conducive. This makes the trade problems for a number of countries slow down, including Indonesia. Especially for products that are mass-produced by mainstream industries. Even so, he said that the opportunity for Indonesia to gain export profit is still possible, provided that Indonesia enters the international market through creative economic products such as handicrafts produced by micro, small and medium enterprises. Amid the sluggish global economy and trade war, President Joko Widodo assessed that Indonesia needs to rely on micro and small and medium enterprises products to be exported in addition to labor-intensive products that are commonly exported on a large scale. Moreover, Indonesian handicraft products are known to have a premium quality to compete in the international arena. President Joko Widodo also appreciated Bank Indonesia and BI to have fostered hundreds of micro, small and medium enterprises to produce several superior products. He is optimistic that with the instinctive Indonesian character inherent in every micro, small and medium enterprise that produces their products, there are increasingly open market opportunities abroad. Meanwhile, Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio said that until this year, his site has built almost 900 micro, small and medium enterprises throughout Indonesia, and some have gone digital to sell their products, both through social media and e-commerce. Several of them had even managed to penetrate the international market. The Indonesian Creative Works 2019 exhibition with the theme Encouraging Economic Growth Through Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises Go Export and Go Digital took place at the GCC Jakarta from 12 to 14 July 2019. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Begitu indah yang kau buat.
was a song titled Jingga or Orange by Lala Karmela. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will present you information about Indonesian tourism, its local wisdom, as well as culture in our program Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, we will present you information about tourism destination in West Kalimantan, which is Mount Palung. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you about National Park of Mount Palung in West Kalimantan. Stay tuned. The National Park of Mount Palung is located in the North Kayung and Ketapang Regency, West Kalimantan. The park has the most complete ecosystem in Indonesia. The mountain is 1,116 meters high. That's why this park is named National Park of Mount Palung. The National Park of Mount Palung is one of the natural preservation locations which has high value of natural diversity and various types of ecosystem, such as mangrove forest, swamp forest, peat swamp, freshwater forest, as well as tropical pama forest. The mountain is always covered with fog. Around 65% of its area is still primary forest, which is not disturbed by human activities, and it also has a lot of plants and wild animals. At the park, there are main tourism objects, which are Lubuk Baji, Batu Barat, Riam Rasap, and Pramas Hill. Sky or sea lines to access the National Park of Mount Palung. If you use Skyline from Pontianak to Ketapang, the trip takes around 1.5 hours. Then it is continued to Sukadana or Melano Bay by using car around 5 hours. Meanwhile, by sea line from Pontianak directly to Melano Bay, it takes around 9 to 10 hours. To enter the park, you will be charged 1,000 rupiahs for each person, for domestic tourists, as well as 10,000 rupiahs for foreign tourists. Visitors who bring camera must pay extra charge, namely 200,000 rupiah per photograph and also 2,500,000 for a video camera. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Terlihat jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku, oh, oh. Hanya hatiku, oh. satu tumbuh seribu. Kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita. Ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku. Yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku. Yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Hanya hatiku.
Bicaralah,
oh, oh,
yang kau mau.
Hanya hatiku.
Ini hidupku,
oh, oh.
Bicaralah, yang kau mau. Ini hidupku.
Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupmu.
There was a song titled Wajah Cerita by Ben Siombing. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, we will take you to learn Indonesian language by introducing you some vocabulary and expressions, and also we will invite you to practice the language. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is taking medicine 3 times a day or minum obat 3 kali sehari. Next is a conversation about minum obat 3 kali sehari or taking medicine 3 times a day. Tony was sick. He was taken by Joko to see a doctor, and now he is at the pharmacy to get some medicines.
Bapak Tony.
Ya, saya.
Ini obat untuk Anda. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan.
Baik, berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini?
3 kali sehari, semoga lekas sembuh.
Terima kasih.
The conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Ya, saya. Ya, saya. Which means, yes, I am. Ini obat Anda. Ini obat Anda. Which means, this is your medicine. Ini obat diare. Ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Which means, this is for diarrhea, this is for nausea, and this is the vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan. minum obat ini setelah makan. Which means, take the medicines after you have eaten. Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat? Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat? Which means, how many times a day should I take the medicines? Tiga kali sehari. Tiga kali sehari. Which means, 3 times a day. Semoga lekas sembuh. Semoga lekas sembuh. Which means, get well soon. Berolahraga 2 kali seminggu. Berolahraga 2 kali seminggu. Which means, practicing sports 2 times a week. Antibiotic. Antibiotic. Which means, antibiotics. Harus habis. Harus habis. Which means, must be finished. Berapa kali seminggu? Berapa kali seminggu? How many times a week? Berapa kali sebulan? Berapa kali sebulan? How many times a month? Berapa kali setahun? Berapa kali setahun? How many times a year? If you want to ask about frequency in doing something, you have to start with berapa kali sehari, berapa kali seminggu, berapa kali sebulan, and berapa kali setahun. For examples, berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Which means, how many times a day should I take the medicine? Berapa kali seminggu Anda berolahraga? Which means, how many times a week do you do sports? Now, let us follow to the next example of sentences that mention frequency in doing something. Saya harus minum obat ini 3 kali sehari. Which means, I have to take the medicine 3 times a day. Saya berolahraga 2 kali seminggu. Which means, I do exercise or sport 2 times a week. Next, to get direction in taking medicines, you can use some expressions. Minum obat ini 3 kali sehari. Or take the medicines 3 times a day. Minum obat ini sebelum makan. Or take the medicines before you eat. Ini antibiotik. Obat ini harus habis. Or this is antibiotics. It should be finished. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bapak Tony.
Ya, saya.
Ini obat untuk Anda. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan.
Baik, berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini?
3 kali sehari. Semoga lekas sembuh.
Terima kasih.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya. masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
That was a song titled Siapkah Kau Tuk Jatuh Cinta or Are You Ready to Fall in Love by Hi-Fi. For the next segment, we will give you information about Indonesian keroncong music. So make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia.
Engkau gemilang, malam cemerlang, bagaikan bintang timur sedang mengembang. Tak jemu-jemu, mata memandang, aku namakan di kau cinta malam. Sinar matamu menari-nari, langsung menembus ke dalam jantung kalbu. Aku
Indonesia.
Terfikirkan bahaya diriku. Seandainya saja ku mampu memulihkan perasaanmu yang telah lama terluka oleh dirinya. Lupakan semua, sudahlah cukup di sini.
Listener, thank you very much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia. So don't forget, if you have any suggestions and criticism, please head out to our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia. And also don't forget to send your email to our email address, voi@voinews.id.